Check. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand up one more time and pray together. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll be glad and rejoice in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Thank you, Father, for the word of faith that you'll give us here to help us, strengthen us. Thank you for those that are watching online today as well, Lord. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the anointing of God, the power of God, would search through their bodies, their minds, their hearts, and give them what they need today. Grant everyone, according to your word, what you said in your word, as we pray and believe together. Father, we thank you for the mighty corporate anointing as we stand together and we see great things happening. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here, that's abiding in us, that lives in us, leading us and guiding us and teaching us. So we give you praise for all that is being said in your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. Well, turn in your Bibles with me this morning. First of all, I want to say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
And it's nice to see familiar faces and old ones and new ones. And that was a very good show we had this morning, don't you think? They're creative about the offerings, or not the offerings. They should do that with offering too, I guess, right? That's a good revelation. It's a pleasure to see the kids grow, and a lot of those kids, they were just little babies when we were around here, when they first came in. I guess lots of them were just not even here when we first started. So, but it's nice to see them growing up into real beautiful teenagers. Our topic today is, of course, faith. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us, if I was a pastor, I'd teach at least once a month on faith, on the subject of faith. And so I do that, and once in a while I'll just get a topic on it. And the title today that we're using to identify what we're teaching is called Using Your Faith for Others. Using Your Faith for Others. And we're going to talk about the prayer area. So we're going to look at Mark 11:24, Matthew 21:22. We'll start with those two scriptures and go to other ones. Of course, it's always good to have a couple of scriptures to start with. Then we'll go to other things. And I want to propose to you that prayer, believing prayer, changes things. Believing prayer changes things. So Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I say unto you, do we have that on the, yes, why don't we all say that together? If you don't have a Bible, or if you do have a Bible, look up the screen right now. Let's go ahead and be in unison this morning and believe God together. One, two, three. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Let me say that two more times. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now go to Matthew 21 and 22. Let's go ahead and say that three times together. Matthew chapter 21, 22. And let's go start. One, two, three. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Okay, one more time. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. All right. Now, as I mentioned to you, that it's just not prayer alone that's going to do it. We need to understand everybody prays, but not every prayer is answered. And there's many people pray, and they don't get any answers. They're not satisfied. They don't really get any connection made. And so we want to say some things here that will be appropriate for the teaching. As we go along, we'll say more about it. But notice the scripture about faith and prayer we just read, Mark 11:24. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things. Everybody say whatever things. So we're talking about things. We're praying about things. So that would include healing. That would include children. That would include money. That would include safety. That would include hearing from God. It would include a whole array of a spectrum of things the Bible talks about. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he wants to get over to them this fact that he said, Whatever things. About what? Whatever things you ask in prayer. In other words, if you're going to pray, you're going to be asking for something. He said, believing. First of all, if you're going to pray, you got to have to believe something. You have to believe, first of all, the Bible. So when we pray in line with the Scripture. You know, in 1 John 5, and I believe it's 14, 15, he talks about in there that about prayer. You know, and also verses 4 and 5 talks about faith. This is the victory, verse 4 and 5 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is it that has victory? That he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, anyone who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have the victory. When we were in school years ago, Brother Keith Moore used to ask us to all stand up, and when we were at Rhema there, and he used to tell us, who's got the victory? It always reminded every class we had. We had him for a healing school. He taught healing for many years for Brother Hagen. And also prayer, some things on finances. He taught on finances. And so he'd always ask, you have the victory. Let me just ask you this morning, do you have the victory? Yes. See, this is not because you're actually winning right now. Maybe you look like you're losing. Maybe you are losing, naturally speaking, but right now, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about what the Bible says. And that's the reality. According to what the Bible says, who is it that has the victory? That Jesus, them who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We're on the winning side. I said, we're on the winning side. One more time. We're on the winning side. That's right. That's right. So we need to see our faith is in the principles of God's word. It's not on what you see. It's not on what you think about it. It's not on what someone else said. It's not based on somebody else's experience or even your own experience living so far. Maybe your experience hasn't been as great as it should be, could be, or would like it to be. But we're basing our faith in what Jesus said and what the Word says, what God said about us. And so we side in with God and we believe with God what He said. And so I want to just read that scripture. I don't have it down in my notes, but I want to just read it to you because it came up in my spirit. 1 John chapter 5, and notice 14 and 15, this is in line with what we're talking about, Mark 11, 23, and Matthew 21. We're talking about how to use your faith for other people. How many people are believing for someone else in your family? Let me see your hand right now. If you're believing something for someone in your home, that's almost all of you. Some of you didn't. I'm sure you're still believing. But I believe that we can get somewhere this morning. Amen. With the scripture. It says here that this is the confidence. You know, you have to have faith for things, and you cannot have confidence without faith. One in the Greek, in the W.E. Vine, says that faith is having confidence. If you don't have confidence when you pray, then you don't really have faith. Because the Word of God is called the Word of Faith, which gives you confidence. So we can have confidence in our experiences because you're going to go down. We don't have confidence in what we see, we'll surely go down. So this is the confidence. In other words, you can say faith. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that it's on in God and Jesus and His Word, that if we ask anything, according to His will, He hears us. You can be confident that if you ask anything, any prayer, based on God's will, and we know the New Testament, the Bible, is God's will. Brother Hagin used to tell us to take our Bible. If you got your Bible out, let's do it right now as a practice. Take your Bible and said, "This is God speaking to me." Let's all do it one more time and a little bit more gusto. Okay. I realize it's morning and the sun's not out that much, but let's go ahead. One, two, three. This is God speaking to me. Now turn to your neighbor and say, "This is God speaking to you." Point at them. "This is God speaking to you." Now, the will of God, the New Testament is Jesus' last testament. This is his will. The Bible says we can have confidence when we pray based on the covenant, based on what is written. Now, you might be beaten up this week. You might have seemingly lost the battle, but it's not all over yet. You're going to get up bloody and marked up, but you're going to get up and you're going to win. Amen. Amen? Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
All right, now, he says in verse 15, if we know, how do we know? Because we know his will. And if we know that he hears us, because of his will, his word, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. That's pretty good shouting ground, dancing right there. Okay? So let's go back again to our verse of scripture. I just want to add that in, and we're not going to charge any extra for that this morning. Take it extra. We're just going to give you free. But maybe after that, we'll actually charge something extra. Now, it says in here also, Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them." So when you're praying, the moment you pray, whether you're praying for healing or any kind of stuff you believe in, you got to believe at the moment you're praying, you have to believe, "I got it." You got to receive it when you're praying. The moment you're praying, you have to receive it. You have to believe that you receive it now. Otherwise, if you don't believe that, then you are not doing it right. Okay? So it says in there, now notice this, that you receive them. Them is whatever you're asking. And then notice this, you will, as future tense, have them or possess them. It naturally saying that you don't really have it naturally, but you believe you got it now, but they're manifest somewhere down the line. Okay, this is not a mind twister. This is the Bible. Okay, so I know it's hard to get your unrenewed mind wrapped around that. When you're so used to living in the natural, we're all so used to living how we feel, what we think about it, what somebody else has said, somebody else's experience, and they didn't get healed, so I got the same thing, I'd probably die too. And somebody said, you know, one time, said, "Well, I know so-and-so, he had the same disease, and he died." Well, that's a big encouragement. You don't want to talk to anybody like that. Notice Hebrews 11:33, I want to talk about things, there are promises. Now, it's talking about those heroes of faith. Through faith, that's the only way to pray, is faith, believing. Through faith, subdued kingdoms. You could use faith to subdue kingdoms according to what the Bible says here, because God told them to go and subdue it, and they took it. They subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises. Everybody say, "Obtain promises." Say, "Obtain promises." Said, "This is how I'll obtain promises." So the promises are the Bible, the Word of God speaking to you. So this is how you're going to obtain, is through faith. You use faith to obtain Bible promises when you pray. And then it goes on over here. Let's go to Matthew 21. This is our text, second text, but we added a couple of extras, about four or five scriptures in between. This is inserted in, make sure it's all packed in. Matthew 21:22. I like the guys, you know, I like John because he likes the word. He, you know, he don't mind my stories once in a while, but he likes the word. I can tell when someone likes the word. They're hungry for the word. And this man here, he likes smelling my breath as well as the word. No, he likes the word. He's just hungry for the word. He just can't wait to get to church. And the anointing is there. And Matthew 21, 22 says, and whatever, okay, whatever things, now we're going about things again, whatever things you ask in prayer, if you stop right there, we'd all have it made. But it's got more. It's not just prayer alone. It's believing prayer. What do you believe about it? Every time they came to Jesus in the Bible, you know, there's 19 cases, individual cases recorded for us in the Bible. And every time they asked Jesus about healing, Jesus said, what do you believe about it? Do you believe I can do this? They say, yay, Lord, yay, yay, yay. He said, be according to what you believe. So they never said, well, I don't know, maybe you could do it, Jesus. I saw a few healings around here. But they say, yes, I believe it. Amen. And so Matthew, now Mark said it, Matthew saying it, Jesus said it. Then we see John saying a few things, and Paul in Hebrews. He says in here, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So have you ever asked yourself the question in a situation where you had need to pray for someone about something, you're not quite sure what to say or what to do about that situation? You have to understand where your part begins and where God's part begins. You have to know what your partner that you're believing God with, what they have to do about the situation when you're believing God for something. Now, God does some things outside that out of the ordinary, it's extraordinary. It's not necessarily the word, but he does some other things, but you can never guarantee that. The only guarantee we have is a covenant. God might do that, like we see in John, I believe it's John chapter 5. We see the man, he'd been there for like 40-some years, and he'd been a cripple from his mother's womb. He'd never walked. Jesus came by. The Bible says they sat him there all the time. He was sitting there waiting for the moving of the water just in case that he fell in first. But he had no man. Jesus said, you want to be healed? The guy's sitting there. Jesus came by. And by the Spirit of God, God led him. God led Jesus to the man and said, do you want to be made whole? The man said, well, I have no man to help me. This is indicative of what everybody else is wanting to do. They want everyone else to get prayer for them or ask God to answer. But Jesus asked him, what do you want? He says, well, I don't have anybody to help me. And he got healed. They were waiting for the moving of the water. The angel came down. It was a move of God that every once in a while he came down there and he did something. And whoever went in the water first was healed, whatever disease he had. And that is a picture of God moving on his own, trying to get our attention to begin to believe. That's why God does it that way. So that he can say, hey, I'm still here. I'm going to need faith. So every time in the 19 cases of healing, it always was a question of faith. Someone else's faith, individual's faith, or collective faith. It was always something to do with believing God. And that's how you got saved. You believed God. So where does my authority lie? Many times, many don't have the victory because they don't know where they should pinpoint their faith and where their authority is. I want to say some things here that will maybe enlighten you, and you probably know this already, but it's good to be reminded. Because you can't just go and pray for anybody anytime you want and make it happen. I said, you can't just go around praying and imposing your will on everybody else, even though it's God's will, and pray for them and get answers for them. If not, we'd have half of our families in here already. And we'd have a bigger church. Make everybody get healed and saved right now. And make them do whatever you want. Give me 1,000 right now, okay, in Jesus' name, I'll take that. No, you can't just force yourself and your faith on anyone. God doesn't force you to get healed. He doesn't force you to pray in tongues. He doesn't force you to pray in tongues. Never, he never one time forced anyone to pray in tongues. Like he will never force anyone to get saved. You have to believe and cooperate with God. Is that a shock? Just a revelation, and it's an acceptable thing to understand. Hey, we need to understand that, because somehow when we're out there somewhere, we begin to think another way, because we think, oh, I can just do anything I want. I can pray with the guy right now and just get him healed. Whether he likes it or not, I'm going to heal him and get him saved and fill him with the Spirit. Plus put money in his pocket. So notice about desire. Notice the scripture here in Mark 11, 24 says it has something to do with your desire when you pray and not someone else's desire when you're praying for yourself. When you're praying for somebody else, it's about their desire, not yours. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever you ask, you, meaning you are the person, the designated subject here in the discussion, whatever you ask for when you pray, not when your grandpa prays, not when the pastor prays, but when you pray, what do? You believe. Next, what do you do? You believe what? You believe that you receive your prayer when you're doing the praying. If you can't do that, then you're not going to get the answer. The moment you pray, when you pray is a present tense designation. You're standing like this, Lord, I want to ask you right now in the name of Jesus. I need so much more, you know. In fact, you don't pray for money. You don't pray for money. You claim it according to Scripture. And so, because it's in there, you claim what belongs to you. You don't beg God for money. And so, I've never prayed for money. I just say, God, thank you. I need this much money. We need this. So, in the name of Jesus, and, you know, you might be a little bit disappointed with my faith, but that's my faith. Not your faith. I'm believing God for my family and my needs, plus the church's needs, plus Spirit of Life needs. And you go ahead and try that. Hello? And so, you know, it takes some faith. It takes energy, some spiritual energy and some gumption to pray for stuff and believe God, and you try and step out in faith. It's important that you understand that you have to stand on God's word. So whatever you ask in prayer, believing, is not someone else's desire. So when I'm praying, I can pray. I can make my faith work for me all the time for myself. But I can't always make it work for you. If you're sick, I can't always make my faith work for you if you're sick. Amen. And yet we have 1,001 people running around trying to make everybody healed by their faith when they're not there yet. That's right. And there's a lot of disappointment going on. And so we're going to show how to work that out. We're going to show how to do that, how to get that to a place where we can actually have victory. We want to have victory, don't we? And it's, you know, and sometimes people don't, you know, they get disappointed because in the first 24 hours, nothing changes. It even got worse. So they abandon their faith immediately. Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not going to give his place where he's had so easily. He's going to fight doggedly to keep where he is. And if you got him up once, he'll try to come back again. You ever got free from something, he try to come back to you? Yeah. He'll try to come back where he's been. He's going to try to come back. But that's why you have faith for victory. That ensures our victory. So it's about your desire. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Four times in that verse of Scripture. Mark 11, 24. Four times, three of them are designated as, you know, as you doing the praying. So the emphasis on real prayer, on answered prayer, is what you believe and what you want. Remember John 15:7? The Bible says there that Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So, effective prayer depends on you, not God. Because he already can grant anything you want according to his will. He already gave us his will and said, here's all the stuff you can believe for. Here it is right here. You can believe it right there, and nobody picks up the Bible and don't read the Bible throughout the week. They don't want to know what's in it. And then they ask somebody else, hey, pray for me. Let's ask 20,000 people and let's get this guy healed. So they think this. This is what generally most Christians that I know in this city believe. That if I get enough people praying for one guy, they'll be healed. It doesn't work that way. If I can get the most 25 spiritual people to pray for this guy's healing, they'll get healed, guaranteed. That's what most people believe in this city. And they don't want to listen to somebody like me to tell them that this doesn't work that way. It's not about how many people praying for you. Jesus said if you just pray it yourself and get another person agreeing with you, it can happen. There's something else important in this asking when you're using your faith for somebody else, and let's find out what it is. Because I can't go to anybody's home right here, go sleep in your house, take out your food, start eating in there, watching TV, looking around, rummaging around your closet and taking whatever I want, and just saying, I'm taking this right now, I'm going home. Taking your car keys and drive around for a week and come back, bring the car. You can't do that. That belongs to them. That's their property. You can't do that spiritually as well to anybody. You can't force people. And yet we got a lot of people, they think if they can just ask 25, I see it all the time on Facebook, oh, pray for this, pray for that. Well, how do I know what you believe? How do I know what you believe? You ask me for prayer, but how do I know what you are believing? Or you're walking down the street, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I say, pray for yourself. You ought to know you've been in the Christian world for 25 years now. You ought to be learning how to pull up your own pants. I'm serious. We got a big problem in this city, in church, in church circles, everywhere. And yet they still won't listen to you. We need to go by the Bible. I'm teaching you the Bible right now. I'm not teaching you word of faith group teaching. This is the Bible. Amen. This is not Lutheran doctrine. This is not Catholics. It's not Pentecostal. This is the Bible. We want to know what to do so we're not confused. If it doesn't work, we know why it didn't work. Right? If your car's not working, you know, you get somebody to look at it to say, "Well, it's you didn't put in the key." You know what I'm saying? You have to have some kind of reasoning behind it. I mean, God's not stupid; He tells us what to do. He's got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and all those guys to tell us what to do. What part of it you don't understand? You know, like he's telling you, I'm sending you all these guys. So he said, therefore, I say to you, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, not believe what he's thinking that you think that he's receiving. So it has to do with your will, not your husband's will or your wife's will. It has nothing to do with grandpa or grandma's will. It has nothing to do with the pastor or the elder's will. Or anyone else but your desire to believe God for something. It matters who's doing the desiring when you're praying. Many people miss the mark when it comes to prayer because they want what they want to pray for and begin to pray off their desires on somebody else. I asked one fellow one time, you know, and he was on compensation. He came to the church for a short time. I can see why he left after. I asked him, you know, I can pray for you. You can get healed, and you don't have to be on compensation. He said, no, I'm getting paid. This is talking. He's talking to me. So he must believe that he actually can get healed. He said, no, don't pray. I don't want to get off. I'm on compensation. Let me tell you something. Brother Hagin, I remember one time, he prayed for a guy who was on compensation. He shouldn't ever move his arm or whatever ever again, and he had no bone in there or something, or couldn't operate. But prayed for him, and he got totally healed without the bone put back, and then he's using it just like he was actually had the bone in it. That's what we call a continuous miracle. But he said, I went to the doctor, and they said, well, I know you're using that arm, but these reports medically saying you're not supposed to. You can't. He said, well, I'm healed. He got both of them. He got the healing and the money. Yeah. That's pretty good. You want the healing and the money? I'll pray for you right now. Here's something else we have to understand. This is natural spiritual things, and that is believe that you receive. He didn't ask you anything else, just believe that you receive. He didn't ask you if you had any feeling in there, in that leg, or if it changed. He just said, believe that you receive. That's all you have to do, believe that you receive. God does the rest. He makes sure you have it. Now, it sounds simple when I say it, but you've got to do some fighting. And standing. Fight against what you think about it now, what your body's telling you. It does take some time. So, the time you pray, you've got to believe. Now, spiritual laws to consider. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. So there is a law of faith. We can't impose our will on other people and pray about their outcomes. There are spiritual laws just like there are natural laws. For example, the law of gravity. You have to apply certain things to work with the law of gravity in order for us to do certain things, like fly a plane or fly a kite, whatever it is. Legal laws for courts work certain ways. Policing. So on. We have to consider the laws that apply to certain areas. When it comes to prayer, one must consider spiritual laws over here. The biggest law to consider it's getting consent from someone when you pray with them. Getting the agreement with someone and say, we want to pray for this area. You want prayer? Let's agree. And that's why when someone asks you, can you pray for me? For your healing or whatever it is. You say, okay, so what scriptures are you basing your praying on? And I'll pray with you. They just say, I don't know. I don't have any scriptures. Then how could I pray with you if you don't have any scriptures that you're believing on? I'm believing, and you're just kind of thinking about it. So we have to, you know, when someone asks you for prayer, don't just be quick to pray for them because you're going to run to another disappointment and yourself too. You're trying to impose and trying to pretend that something's working when you're not operating a principle. So everything is a principle. Everything is based on law, the law of the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit there is a principle of God's Word. What does the principle say if God's Word says? So we must consider asking for consent or agreement. Amos 3:3 says that we must, if we're going to walk, can two people walk together unless they agree in the direction they're going? You have to get agreement. So Romans 3:31. Well, then, if we emphasize faith, does it mean that we can't forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we fully fulfill the law. So we have to have faith to fulfill whatever God has set out in motion for us. Now, everyone sets out laws of faith, laws of motion in their own lives by the way they've been talking, what they've been believing. Every one of us has set, you set your law in motion. Whatever's going on in your life, you set that law. No one else did it. You did it. The way you spoke for the last 25 years, you've set a lot of laws together, and you better undo them yourself and say, God, whatever I said, if I was believing wrong about it, I'm asking you for forgive me right now. When we take that communion table this morning, you say, Father, I'm just going to undo everything I said, everything unbelief. I want to just start brand new today. I'm going to believe God for you according to your word. I believe I don't get sick all the time. I believe I'll have victory. I believe everything will be good according to your word. So prayer answers things. Many scriptures reveal that God will answer our prayer requests. For instance, you can pray for healing and protection and deliverance, material things, finances, and believe God for financial blessing. Bible says that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. James 5:13-16 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. Sozo, the sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he had committed sins, he shall be will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. As you can see, prayer answers the needs of physical and spiritual concerns here through people's faith or the faith of people. It says a person of faith, the prayer of faith. So somebody had to be release a prayer of faith, either an elder or a church or a righteous person. It gives those designations in there who can actually pray this prayer. The last designation there is the righteous man, and everyone who is born again is a righteous man. You qualify. The Bible says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know that scripture, 5:21, I think it is, or Romans 5, or 1 Corinthians 5:21, or 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am the righteousness of God. First of all, verse 17 says that I've been born again. I've been born anew. Then the last verse of scripture in that chapter says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right now, and of course, Galatians and Philippians tells us that we were born again righteous. We believe that the righteousness. So I have right standing with God. I'm righteous right now. I might not be perfect. If you look at my life, you might say, that guy, how could he ever be a pastor? How could he ever be this? No, it's not because of how perfect I was when God called me. God knew me before he called me. Now, it doesn't mean I have license to do whatever I want. But the Bible says, I'm righteous right now. God accepted me right now based on what Jesus did. And I can pray based on that. And that's how most people get defeated, because they said, they let the devil attack them. Look at what you did. Look how many sins you committed. Look at what's in your mind. Look what you did right now. No, it's not based on that. A lot of times we sin, we don't even know we're sinning. Even if you had all the intellect in the world and all the sensitivity in the world, you still wouldn't make it right because perfection is not there. Jesus only is the only one that did it. No one can keep the law. No one can be so perfect that they keep the law. But thank God Jesus did it for us, and he is our righteousness. Come on now. He is our righteousness. And that's why we can base our faith on the fact that Jesus is our very high priest. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 16, I think, come boldly to the throne of grace. That you might receive mercy or grace in time of need, right? You might find help in time of need. Thank God for we can go to God. Not based on our super spirituality, but based on boldly on Christ. Glory to God. When you pray, believe. Who can you carry then in prayer? Who can actually you can carry in your prayer, legally speaking? There's only two designations in the Bible that you can actually carry someone in your prayer life. Not with other born-again believers that have been around for a while. You can't just carry them around with your faith. You can carry legitimate baby Christians. I think, scripturally speaking, up to about 4 years in the Lord, according to the Bible. Paul was talking to the Corinthians. They were spirit-filled Christians talking in tongues, but they had all kinds of sexual problems, fighting problems, intellectual, like all kinds of real stuff going on in their church and their lives. And the Bible says that Paul called them baby Christians, carnal Christians. But they're saved, going to heaven, but they don't have a lot of victory. They're fighting each other. They've got factions going on, and they're carnal. And he called them carnal Christians. So we can pray, we can legitimately pray for baby Christians who don't know anything, can't fend for them spiritually. They cannot fend for them. Just like you would have a baby, a little children's church over there, they can't pray for themselves. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to go home, drive a car, and cook a dinner by themselves. They're 5 years old. They can't do that. But someone in the Lord is the same way. You can carry them with your faith. Or someone who's maybe he's a Christian, been in the church, that never had any teaching on faith. They don't know anything about it. You can carry that one on your faith for a short time. Thank God. You guys are shutting off right now. Are you shutting off? I can just tell something like, ugh. Okay. Jesus said it in Matthew 18:18. This is how you can get someone, you can pray for someone. This is how you can do it. This is the law. Jesus said it takes two people who will agree on anything they ask for in prayer. That's if you believe according to the Bible, according to God's will. In Matthew 18:18-19, he said, "Verily I say to you that whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." He's not talking about heaven where God is. This is talking about the heavenlies. Remember when Ephesians says that we have victory in the heavenlies, over in Ephesians? There's a spiritual group above us that's trying to control things. Not in our realm, but the realm above us, and they work through evil people. So, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father in heaven. That's the agreement. If you can get someone, if you can pray for someone, you can ask them, okay, let's agree on something. Let's agree on the principle. Now, sometimes you have to say, if someone doesn't have faith, you just say, hey, listen, just agree with me, and I'll carry you with my faith. Yeah. If they can agree with that, you can get them to go. But if you can't, if they're not convinced, they don't want to, then you have to wait until they want to. Because you can't force someone. In the meantime, you need to pray the Pauline prayers that God will give them the revelation that they need to know. I pray that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that they may know. And Corinthians talks about that the Holy Spirit will show us what belongs to us in the Word. So I'm done almost here. So find agreement. Find somewhere where you can agree on something so that you can either keep them alive or believe that they don't go bankrupt or whatever it is that you're believing for. Okay, I did my best, man, tell you. Okay, let's go and we're going to get the communion table bread and out. We're going to believe God together and if we have to, let's do some repenting and confessing our sins to one another. Thank you, Jesus. No, you can pray a prayer right now. Let's go ahead and bow your head. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you that we can use our faith, that we can apply faith for believing. Thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the laws of faith that we can abide by. We can know the laws of faith and begin to use that faith law to our advantage. I praise you, Lord, for your word. Oh, I praise you, Lord, in the good times and in the bad times, that you are always the same, no matter what's going on in our lives, in my life or in someone else's life. You never change. You're always good. You're always merciful. You're always ready to answer prayer. Thank you that healing is always available, that needs can be available. Thank you, Father. Let's go ahead and stand up and begin to thank him. We stand on our feet. Father, you said when we stand praying, believe, forgive anybody who has aught against us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now that we ask forgiveness of any wrong confession that's outside of your will. Anything we said that's not according to your will, we cancel it out right now. We break that law. We cancel it out in the name of Jesus. That the righteous man's words can set them free, you said in your Proverbs. A man's words can bring healing. Thank you, Lord. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, anybody who's had a disagreement with me, with us personally, I ask you to forgive them in the name of Jesus. Forgive in Jesus' name. And I choose to forget in the name of Jesus. Thank you. We put it under the blood. We walk forward. And we trust because of that, that we don't have anything against that separating us. We believe that according to the word, you hear us. Thank you, Lord, that my faith is working. That prayer is working right now. That healing is flowing. That the anointing is flowing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Glory to God.